USDA releases the August 10th crop production report. The market yawns. We'll find out why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason in Chicago today. From the Board of Trade, Greg Wagner, Director of Marketing at Horizon Ag Strategies, that clears through Iowa grain, is with us this afternoon. Gordon Lynn, the President of the Lynn Group, and James Barnett, Grain Analyst and Market Voice Editor at MF Global, will join us for this edition. The August 10th crop production report released looked like this. The corn number at 13.054 billion bushels, the average trade guess at 12.9, and USDA's last estimate, roughly speaking, at 12.84. The crop production last year at 10.53 billion bushels, the average national yield at 152.8 bushels to the acre, and the national cash grain numbers from $2.80 to $3.40. Soybeans, a 2.625 billion bushel estimate from USDA on August the 10th, the average trade guess at 2653, and USDA's last production figure at 2.625. Interestingly enough, as you know, there are a lot less acres of soybeans. Last year, we raised 3.188 billion bushels nationally. The soybean average yield at 41.5 bushels to the acre. James Barnett, when you saw those numbers this morning from USDA released, what was your first guess as to the way the market would open?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of disparate information, and I don't think it was surprising that we had some disparate calls there. They're all over the place. I thought the corn was going to open lower. It did open lower. I thought beans were going to open higher. It didn't. It broke early. And I thought wheat was going to sort of split the difference, and it also broke early and then came back. So very choppy day. The headline figure, the corn production, where they gained 2.5 bushels an acre in the production off their July projection, that's obviously a headline. But it was countered. You didn't have ending stocks go up. It was countered by increased exports as there's increasing problems in Europe reflected in the smaller production there, and thus greater export demand for our corn, and more particularly for feed grains in general globally.
James Barnett is with MF Global. Gordon Lynn is the president of Lynn Group. Thanks for being with us to begin with. Tell me, as you take a look at the global side of the marketplace, demand across the board domestically and internationally, will it be able to move a 13 billion bushel crop very effectively through the system?
I think that's what the corn market told you this week. The market actually, any number that USDA in condition since the first of the month, or particularly since the third of the month, really improved across the northern belt. So obviously we're not trading supply here, we're trading demand, and all week we have been trading demand, particularly this week, as the European situation last week and again this week in the forefront. Freight market's very strong, grain moving aggressively into that part of the world. So suppliers from European suppliers to the world and European customers who normally buy from that area were very active this week trying to find the right grain for the right place at the right price, and the prices were high.
How does Iowa Grain view all of the numbers that have been released?
I think we're looking at everything you look at today. I can't put a bearish spin on the corn, the soybean, or the wheat number. I think good points have been made here as far as the corn. Even if you raise the yield on the corn up to 152.8, it was interesting in that regard. You had a 150.3 yield. USDA made that particular adjustment, downward adjustment in trend yield back in the May report. And as we know, they've kept it for three reports here. The fact that they raised it this report, not necessarily up to 152.8, doesn't necessarily suggest that it's going significantly higher. I think it's based on plant population more than anything else. And as far as, again, soybeans, you look at the soybean number, we lowered the ending stocks for soybeans. As far as the corn number, there wasn't a budge as far as ending stock, despite the rather significant increase in the stock size. And everybody is aware of what's going on in the world of wheat. There's no crop conditions here in the U.S. are going to add a bushel of wheat to the world supply right now.
Speaking of things that everybody in the world is certainly aware of, the president was on this week talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the marketplace in general, and what some have viewed as instability in the marketplace. Does it concern you at all at this time, and what do you think of the moves that have been taken by the federal government to stabilize the economy?
Well, it concerns everybody this morning. I think that was the reason why the markets, even with maybe somewhat bold numbers, if we got them, would have opened on the defensive. The rest of the financial markets were in disarray at that particular point. And we were talking about putting the Fed putting more money into the markets, into the system, and they have done that, $87 billion this week. And I think they've shown that they're going to do what they need to do to keep this from being a crisis that the financial markets cannot handle. As far as our markets are concerned, we're definitely affected by this, this morning's opening and all week. But really the story of the week is in demand and what's going on in the European situation, what's happening in world freight markets where they're very strong, what's happening in our freight markets which are very strong, and the fact that corn is cheaper than barley in the world by $50, $60, $100 a ton, cheaper than wheat by $60 to $100 a ton.
Speaking of corn, let's take a look at the numbers as they finish week in Chicago. We high below 16.5. Remember, we give you the composite trades. September settled at $3.33. They were up 6.5 cents from last week. December's at 3.50.5. We're 7.5 cents higher. Is this the low for the month of August already that we've seen? And can we continue to trade higher into the harvest season?
Well, if you tell me what the weather is, I'll tell you if we've hit the low. What I would, I think you have to operate under the normal assumption that if you get trend yields or better in these crops, you have a harvest low. That within the trading range we're at now, we could very easily drop below that low. And I think right now the markets are fairly priced. If you take current prices in the neighborhood of $3.50 for Dees corn, in the neighborhood of $8.75 for Nove beans, just below $7 for Dees wheat, I think those fit the middle parameters, particularly for the row crops for corn and for beans, meaning there's probably 30 cents on either side right now in these markets. And does that mean that we're at the low? Well, what it probably means is that if we get benign August weather, corn can drop a new low, so can beans. But again, right now, there's not a lot of rain in the forecast. I think there's three things we can look at next week that potentially hang over this market. The first is some forecasters have some rain coming into Illinois, central and southern Illinois next week. There's a couple of opportunities for them. Some people, they haven't been in the forecast earlier in the week in most of these models, so we'll have to see who gets the rains. I think particularly now looking at the beans that are more of a and more in the critical growing period in August for them. If you look at the Delta crop is getting burned up. There's some areas out in the Ohio Valley that are also going to are big problems. At the same time, we had some good rains, like Gordy said, up in Minnesota and in Iowa and in Nebraska and parts of the Dakotas. And those areas, the yields have gone up. And so I think where the real dynamic comes is central Illinois and central Indiana. Central Illinois is poised for good yields for beans, but you need a big rain. It's been 2 or 3 weeks there for them. And in Indiana also, they're more need of rain than in much of Illinois. But both of those, if they can get rains the next week, that's something that will alleviate some of this risk premium. The second thing, if you're a bull, that you got to worry about is this is a sort of an outlier here, but there is a tropical storm heading towards the U.S. The last model that came out midday had it coming up into the Gulf, which would bring a lot of rain into the Delta and up into Missouri and southern Illinois and some of these spots. And so if that model still pans out, and again, these models have been flipping all over the place, but that would mean not this Monday, but the following Monday we'd come in with good rain prospects with some areas that have been very dry. I think that's your second concern. And the third one, as Gordy mentioned, is this whole financial issue. If you would happen to get a big hedge or an index fund that all of a sudden has to get out of positions, we've benefited the grain markets in terms of a angle on it. Funds and these big funds coming in, bringing outside money, non-traditional money into the ags, and they've been going one way, they've been going long. And if you had an index fund that instead of being an embedded long, for the first time really in the history of these index funds in our markets, all of a sudden actively selling to get out of a position, I don't even want to think what that means for the market. So these are outliers, but right now you'd have to say if you don't get these rains and you still have some hot, dry weather in August, yes, we've probably built a good base, but those are three big ifs.
On those ifs, the next one is if the ethanol demand continues to build. Most people are thinking that despite the fact that we might have a 13 billion bushel corn crop, that by the time we get to late this fall, early next season, everybody will be tuned in to the 2008 corn crop, and that $3 certainly is not enough for the corn, that it will continue to have to build a larger price for the corn market. Is there anything in the USDA numbers or the way the marketplace has been acting in the outside markets that would concern you that this might not happen? Farmers will be certainly planning for a much higher price of corn by the time they get to December of this year and January and February and March.
I think we have, if you look at the corn market, we have a really robust demand base, and there's no evidence out there, and certainly no sound evidence that to suggest that the demand base is eroded whatsoever. I think that's alluded, like Gordy and James alluded to, there's a fly in the ointment from a financial side, but the fact that the Fed is acting proactively as far as injecting liquidity into the financial marketplace, it will calm the jitters, I imagine. And although the stock market certainly isn't poised to make new highs and maybe not be quite as robust as it has been, nevertheless, I think we'll see a stabilization, I would say, and we might leak lower. So in the absence of any big macro event which would substantively or substantially rock the growth in the world economy, I think essentially we're on track to keep this demand base intact, both for soybeans, for corn, as well as wheat. If you go further, this was alluded to, what James said a moment ago, is we're in a ground war, really, and I've mentioned this before. It's not a combative war, but it is a war for acres. And the way this war is being fought is with price. And you're going to have to entice they have to send a signal. The market's going to have to send a signal to get acreage bought. We need acres down in South America. We stripped 11.5 million acres from our soybean acreage up here, cut production by 500 million plus. You know, you can't have the global offtake growing in soybeans as it is and not make that up somewhere else. So we're in this, like, rotation, northern, southern hemisphere. We saw what happened to the wheat crop here. We got hit. Australia got hit. It turned around. We got hit. And then Europe gets hit. And where we are, we're in a demand rationing market that's taken us up to possibly historically new historical highs before everything's said and done. Similar situation with the bean market as well. You've got extraordinary tight stocks, and if we don't get the acreage out of South America, if South America has a weather problem, you know, where's the weather premium in the May-July contract? Where's the weather premium in that particular commodity? I don't know. And a third caveat I would say, too, in regards to corn is that conventional wisdom has China raising 148 million metric tons. I think there is evidence or there's suggestion that that number is suspect, and you may see China ultimately raise somewhere around up to 143 million tons. So we're positive on all things, but obviously anything could, a macro event could turn it around.
Speaking of the ground war, let's take a look at the numbers for the wheat futures. September contract, 696.5, the high, the low at 641.25. Their settlement price was 17 cents higher at $6.67. For the SEPs, December future, it's at 684.5. We're up 15.5 cents from last week. Greg Wagner says we're in a ground war. Wheat's been leading that war, trying to capture acres as quickly as it can this fall for soft red, hard red, all types of wheat in the United States. Will they be successful, and will that come at the expense of corn, soybeans, I suppose possibly, well, I don't think cotton, but somebody's going to have to suffer somewhere along the lines, or USDA is going to have to release a lot of land out of CRP.
We're in an acreage war. I think Greg is right on target here. We have already shown you at a critical time frame in August, as we are producing relatively big crops, particularly in corn, that we have a demand already. The seeds are here for much better going forward. And they say, of course, that every good market is led by wheat. And I think many of us have been totally surprised around the world with this wheat market. And that's what's different about this particular market than the others. The wheat user or consumer is not very well covered. We saw that this week. We saw that in terms of what positions are being traded in the export markets, to whom, when, and where. So the point is that on the futures breaks in these markets in wheat, you're going to have buying. Now, we're not surprised necessarily by any of the statistics too much, except we still don't know what we have in the European crop sector. Secondly, we have a dryness in Argentina, which doesn't mean maybe too much, but we're going to be watching the Australian situation, which, again, is on our radar screen, way too dry. So the wheat market is a leader, unlike corn. In corn, the user in corn has much better coverage. Not the same as a year ago. We all tend to look back just 1 year, and, of course, the market got trapped 1 year ago without coverage. And subsequently, we moved up a dollar and a half very quickly. This year, totally different scene. Markets have a big crop to move through and have the markets made a bottom in terms of futures markets. Well, maybe, but it's very early, lots of time to go, lots of space situations. But there are two other markets that are going to be just as hot. And that's freight, which is already hot. Big export programs coming. Most people in the trade thinking that USDA is very high on European exports into the marketplace and very low on U.S. exports to the marketplace. So now here we go with a very strong demand for railroad equipment, barge equipment. We think that premium all going to the buyer paying it, but the seller will have a problem, and we're going to have basis moves in these markets where if you're out of position, if you don't have a place for that corn or that bean, that bushel of beans at that time, you're going to suffer. So really the market moving the least over the last 60 days is probably the futures market. Surprise, surprise.
Speaking of basis, let's talk a little bit about basis, the wheat market and the soybean market. There have been some suggestions that price discovery in both of those markets from the future standpoint may not be quite right. I know that the Chicago Board of Trade has adjusted the soft red winter wheat to try to fix some of that problem that happened last year. Is the future? Do the futures and the Board of Trade really need to take again a harder look at wheat because of what's been happening with the spreads between Kansas City and Chicago and how Kansas City has been working Chicago? Does the soybean market and the basis, the wide, very wide basis in Illinois, not represent actual price for Illinois but an actual world price for soybeans? And does the board need to take that up in some respect as well?
It usually comes out of great big markets where you get a price move and futures prices. This is a futures market run away from cash prices in some way, creating this ridiculous basis scene of the moment that usually corrects pretty quickly. Now, you'd like to have, I suppose, a perfect market where you could deliver all the cash against the futures market. But wait a minute, it is a futures market. So that just doesn't happen. We do have it go the other way from time to time. Notably, this year we'll be traded corn in overs over the Chicago Board trade price on Minnesota-Iowa border is an example. I've never really seen it before. So we're in historical times in terms of price movement, basis movement, freight movement, all kinds of participants in all these markets, including funds. And it takes a risk control program. It takes good advisors. It takes a lot of money to handle the hedges and the risk of these markets. It takes a great deal of sophistication. And I think this industry is up to that task, I hope.
When you talk to farmers or would talk to farmers about the marketplace, generally it's telling them to store both their corn and their soybeans. If they don't have a choice and they can only store one, we've heard both that from differing analysts that they'd either choose the corn or the soybeans, and I'd like maybe all of you to talk a little bit about this. Which one do you think would be more likely to give them the best reward for their storage?
Well, the bottom line here is, I think with a break in corn, a substantial break in corn, that relationship between corn and beans has changed. I would have given you a different answer 90 days ago. Certainly, you have a long-term scenario where you need to buy South American acres like Greg has been mentioning, and that's something that you need to do in the beans. So there's a bullish dynamic to beans, but that being said, with a recent break in the corn market, again, depending on your cash basis, I think beans are the better option if you have to sell one or the other right now.
That's a call. I would expect bean basis to improve down the road here, and how much it improves is up for grab. We could have the bean basis without a problem to be able to get it back to more normal levels. I would be inclined to actually store beans. I think the next big surprise is going to be in the soybean market, and not looking for a substantial move into corn. And in regards actually to whether or not we go higher or lower, from a standpoint, the board doesn't have anything really much to do. It's ready. The carry's in the market. So I'd also look at, support at the most recent lows.
I think the answer is all the above. I think storage space is just going to be in more demand than any other time in history, but my favorite would by far be wheat. The reason is that quality wheat is going to continue to be in demand at the ports. We've already traded any protein at like 62 over the Gulf in August, 30 days after harvest. So I think the signals are there that the wheat storage is where the money is, and in fact where you're going to have the extreme potential demand for the right quality at the right place at the right time down the road.
You've all mentioned that a macro event could cause a problem in the marketplace at some point. Is there a way that a producer might want to protect themselves from that risk? Or have they already done that if they're protected in terms of their crop insurance?
Well, crop insurance, as you know, is going to be talked about a lot because it's threatened and by Congress, and I think that threat probably goes away and is, or at least is postponed for the moment. In terms of an outside event creating havoc in the marketplaces, my answer to that is that that's an opportunity if it happens. And you need to be in a place to capitalize on that opportunity. Now, we'll assume, I guess, that for the moment that chaos is a break in the markets, which is, I suppose, what we would have associated with the markets in the past. And if that's the case and you get a futures market break, it should create a really great opportunity for the person who's long basis in all these markets, and again, particularly, I think wheat.
I think Gordy makes some real, real good observations there. As far as a disruption with a macro event, it's really very, very difficult to try to foresee how things play out. Invariably, history has shown that time and time again. I remember we were talking a little bit before the show about 1987, and I remember we had 1987 when the stock market crashed in October. You literally came close to putting in lows in the market. That was right before a big soybean market, I think, rallied right up from that point back in October. And those people who were sitting around the Board of Trade and elsewhere recognized that for what it was, is a buying opportunity. However, my concern would be greater, not only it's an outlying event, there's no doubt about it, but my concern particularly would be if something in Southeast Asia or Asia related to China would get unraveled, and that's where my concern is.
I agree with both my fellow participants. In the end, any kind of financial crisis that led to a break in the grain markets would be an opportunity. One thing I want to throw in there as an added factor, though, is, again, looking at these index funds and looking at some of the historic positions they've put on, particularly in wheat, but also in all three of the major markets, wheat, beans, and corn, also soy oil, for that matter. This has raised the price of all of these commodities in an anticipatory way. They're buying it for a reason. They anticipate inflation. They anticipate that the strength that we originally got in the energies is going to continue to spread into other commodities and that demand demand for the grains and oilseeds is going to be strong. And if you get that kind of capitulation, basically what you're doing is you're taking that premium out, and again, that's an opportunity to get long.
So no matter what happens, you're all actually still very, I'm going to say bullish, but you're all very upbeat about the markets for commodities. Even if something drastically were to turn lower in some sort of macro event. And anybody?
I would just throw in, I'm bullish long term. I'm a little nervous over the next 30 to 60 days, to be honest. I think at some point, I mean, this will happen. I mean, you're not just going to add index longs that are only longs forever. At some point, somebody sells. And that hasn't happened since they've come into our grain markets. And that will happen. And when it happens, the price reaction to it could be dramatic because it's something we haven't seen before, and they're big numbers. And so what I would say is, yes, in the long term, this is healthy for the market, and it gives going to give people a lot of opportunity. But over the short run, it could be kind of scary.
Well, do we know when that might happen? For instance, we know that – well, but we, for instance, know when Deutsche Bank goes in and rebalances, right? We know that that happens in December. Do we not know – do we not know about the rest of them?
If a major, well, yeah, but the issue is, what happens if Deutsche Bank, which lost at one point, was down 6% today, their stock? Let's say that all of a sudden Deutsche Bank, for whatever reason, has to get rid of 20% of their index. Let's just imagine that. I don't think they're going to announce it publicly. I think they're going to come in and they're going to try to do it as quietly as possible. And they're not going to tell you ahead of time, all right, we've got 10,000 December-only contracts of wheat and corn to sell.
Yeah. I think there has been instances in the past where even large individual entities have withdrawn from a fund, and the liquidation has had an impact on price. So it's very valid. But the flip side is, we get back to the macro mode we're in. We've never been in history, and I say this with a great deal of respect. I don't think we've ever experienced what the world is experiencing right now with the growth in China. And if you look at their offtake of every natural resource on this planet, and if you look at the growth, they've gone through gross domestic product has grown at anywhere from 10 to 11% for the past 20 years. So you're looking at an exponential situation with a huge population. It's just we've really never encountered this before. And that's, once again, I think that's our engine for so much. And if that we get it, something stumbles over there, it's going to have very, very far-reaching repercussions.
This would not be the first time that something stumbled in China. in the last decade, in fact, the last time that we were looking at a big marketplace was in 94, 95, 96. Congress came in, put in the Freedom to Farm Act on the idea that China would be there to absorb this, actually most of Asia, and then suddenly they weren't there anymore. So this could be the second time around, I suppose, from in your opinion.
Yeah, in 95, a lot of people disregard the fact, or it's not brought up as much. China was one of a major influence in what happened in 96 because they pulled out of the export market. The year before, they had exported close to 14, 15 million metric tons of corn, and they went from a net exporter to a net importer, although not great, a million metric tons or so. Nevertheless, you could see what the dramatic, coupled with reduced acreage and a crimp in yields back in 95, and that set the stage for a big bull market. And tangentially related, we bottomed off the August crop report back in 95 in corn, and also last year we bottomed on August 18th back in 2006 in the December corn contract. So here we are sitting in two very similar time frames.
In a moment, we'll ask everybody for a final word. Here's some of the rest of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at both the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. August soybeans, a high this week of $8.59, a low at $8.17. Their settlement price at $8.50. They were up 11. November's were up 10 and 3 quarters at $8.71 and 3 quarters. From the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle, August contract, $93.85 for the top, the bottom at $90.20. Settled $90.22.5. They were down $3.37.5. And the August feeder cattle at 114.97.5 were down 95. Lean hogs, August contract 75.95 for the high, the low at 73.35. Their settlement price down 95 cents at 73.42.5, and the bellies at $76 even. were off $4. Gordon Lynn, thank you for joining us. President of the Lynn Group, a final word from you today.
Well, I'd like to comment on what Greg just said about this being more of a global market. I think it's very important, India and China, both, 9, 10, 11% GDP growth into our meat markets. And now India around the wheat markets, veg oil markets have been very hot. These people have dollars to spend, so they do put a different twist on the world markets, coupled with Australia's crop problems, with Europe's issues. We have a demand market ahead of us. It's just surfaced. I agree with Jim. Don't get too exuberant too quickly. We still have harvest to go, and we always have a few thrills. But I think prospects look good for the American farmer.
Gordon Lynn, of course, is the president of Lynn Group. Greg Wagner is the director of marketing for Horizon Ag Strategies and with Iowa Grain. Your final word for the day.
I would echo Gordy's remarks. I think we are in an incredible, we've built this incredible demand base. I think the global economy is in good shape. I'd be surprised near term if next week or near term for a week or two after that we're not buffeted by some sort of financial jitters. It seems apparent what was going on today is not going to get ironed out within 2 or 3 days. And it may impact the corn, soybean, and wheat market. But, however, things are on track for higher prices down the road. As far as those typical harvest lows, I myself am not looking for them. I think the odds favor that we've scored a low in corn. And if we haven't, we'd maybe take these corn down to 310, 350, and we're pretty close to it. End users will be buyers. Keep that in mind when you're doing your marketing, as well as soybeans. You've got a good market fundamentally in soybeans, and we could see the wheat. You're raising wheat. You got to look out to that 08 crop and July 08 wheat and start getting some marketed. We added 45 metric tons of wheat back in 96 when wheat went to $7.50. The world produced 45 metric tons, I believe, of wheat the next year. So, and some of the spreads in wheat today weren't acting too well, the old crop, new crop wheat. So all in all, positive, and we'll go from there.
And James Barnett at MF Global.
I agree with just about everything that both Greg and Gordy said. In the big picture, it's a demand market. And being a producer of something that's in demand in the long run, the opportunities are there. Again, the caveat I'd put in is that we have 30 days here. August is going to be critical weather, particularly for the beans. And the other one I'd say is that if you have some sort of global uncertainty and if you happen to get some capitulation by someone, you'll all of a sudden start to hear different stories and they'll start to say how the demand scenario has changed when in reality it's simply money getting out of the market. To be calm in those scenarios and in the big picture, being an owner and producer of grain and oil seeds is a winning formula.
Our thanks today to Greg Wagner and Gordy Lynn and James Barnett. That is this August the 10th edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.